Let's call it to order. Okay.
Here. Sorry. Resounding a little bit.
Present.
Commissioner Pelosi.
Here.
Commissioner McCollum.
Here.
Commissioner Lischewski.
Present.
Commissioner Thompson, I forgot you.
Here.
Commissioner Ward.
Aye.
On the phone?
And on the phone.
Trent Carbaugh, AFSB.
Commissioners on the phone?
Garrett Wong.
Maura Dugan.
Did we catch you, Andy? Did we catch you, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Introductions around the room.
I'll start with Bill Wilkes with Parish Blessing and Associates.
I'm Alex Hilfling, our Vice President and General Manager for TOTE, Alaska.
Cheryl Beckham, Port Finance.
Sharon Welch, Deputy Director, Port.
Steve Rebuffo, Port Director.
Jason Bockenstedt, Deputy Chief of Staff for the Mayor.
Eugene Carl Haberman, to represent myself.
Paul Rutgers, Port Safety.
Ryan Zinn, Alaska Basic Industries.
Lev Ian Polsky, Petrostar.
Scott DeWandle, ABI Smith.
Tom Ruder, Alaska Maritime.
Brittany Kennington, Alaska Maritime.
Drew Mattingly, AFSC.
Paul Mallor, Marathon Petroleum.
Lori Galloway, General Manager,
NASA. Roaster Zalewski, Ascent.
Flight Director, Tilt Maritime.
Alan Scott, Military Surface, Deployment Dispersion Command.
Chris Vernon, North Star Terminal.
Bart Bissler, NOAA's Office of Coast Survey.
Jeff Poole, Jacobs Engineering.
Alex Lifka, Chief Fiscal Officer for the Municipality.
I'm not sure who we had entering the room there.
Channel 2.
Okay. Paul, please bless us with a safety moment.
Sure, you betcha. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Did everybody participate in the Great Alaska Shakeout?
Yes.
Good. In some way or form, whether you're at your business or whether you're in a mall or anything. Well, today's safety moment isn't going to cover it all. Just a real quick Reader's Digest version of how to operate a fire extinguisher. October is Fire Prevention Month. It always has been. It always probably will be. Anybody remember the mnemonic to operate a fire extinguisher? Who wants to get the smiley face?
Pass.
First, the P stands for pull the pin. What is the A stand for? What does A stand for? Remember?
Aim.
Okay. Now, here's the tricky part. You want to hold the nozzle, if it has a nozzle like this or a hose, in your dominant hand. So we got P-A-S, squeeze, squeeze a lever. What does S stand for, the last S?
Sweep
back and forth where?
Base
of the fire, exactly. You betcha. Now here's a little insider information. I won every firefighter challenge with the fire extinguisher putting it out the fastest. Because the faster you sweep at the base of the fire, the faster the fire goes out and the less product you use.
No.
Yes. You're more proficient with your dominant hand with the hose as well too. Okay. Don't squirt it at the flames because it's not going to do anything in the flames. Okay. At the base of the fire. Questions? Have a great day.
Thank you, Paul. Introduction.
Suzanne LaRance.
Thank you. approval of the agenda.
Move to approve.
A second.
Ayes. Approve. Agenda.
Aye.
Second.
Agenda approved. Any changes? go right into new business.
If I may, Jason is here to give the opening remarks, and then we'll turn over to Bill Wilkes to make the presentation.
Yeah, as I said, my name is Jason Bockenstedt. I'm the Deputy Chief of Staff Mayor, and apologize for Bill not being here, and I'm going to have to run as well. But wanted to just come over and say a few things. First, we are also very excited and pleased by the continued engagement by the Port User Group, by the folks that are on the value engineering team. I feel like Ryan, Lev, and Ro are becoming very fast friends the amount of times that we are getting together and meeting. But obviously we're all here because at the end of the year, the current tariffs expire. And a couple weeks ago, Bill sent out what our proposal is. It's different than what it has been in years past, which is typically you get here's one proposal to keep the lights on. We wanted to do things a little bit differently and provide the Port Commission with a range of options. And what I will say to start out is we are not asking you to make a decision today. This is just simply for Bill, Steve, and the Port team to run through what those options look like, what those numbers are. And we hope that it will create additional dialogue, both from the user group, but from the Port Commission, so that we have some questions, some comments to respond to, and that we are happy to meet as many times as needed to make folks comfortable with whatever decision is made. So hopefully this will be a very informative meeting, and we look forward to continuing to engage, you know, on figuring out how do we continue to move forward on the development of the port. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bill and let him start.
Right.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you.
Well, I'll stand up. My name's Bill Wilkes. Thanks, Jason. You gave me a hard road to hoe here. For those of you who have been on the Port Commission for quite a while, you probably remember me from 2014. Because my firm introduced the revenue requirement process, and we established some performance standards that you've used to establish your rates for now 5 years. And what I was really enjoyed in that particular engagement was we had the Port Commission actually go in front of the Assembly. And they liked the process, and you liked the model that we developed, it's your model, and unanimously accepted the rates. So in this particular situation, what we've got is a presentation that takes the model that you've been used to, and we do a couple of things with it in terms of updating it for where we're at currently. So I've asked Cheryl to kind of be the slide guide. So I'll let you go. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is the financial highlights 2009 to 2018, and then we'll talk about getting to the tariff rates. So let's go to the next slide. What we're talking about in terms of the rates here is the items that are going to affect your operating revenues. As you can see, when you look at your operating revenues and your operating expenses, and you look at the last few years here, we've got some declining revenues, basically operating loss. So what we're going to do today is we're going to show you what happens if we just don't do anything. Then we're going to show you the baseline to keep the lights on, and then we're going to go through all of the options, and we'll hopefully get those organized in a way that make a lot of sense to you. So, the next slide. So one of the things that we did back in 2014 is we got the municipality to look at its operations, this enterprise fund, and say, our recommendation to the port, to this enterprise fund, is to have 90 days of cash operating expenses on hand. And that's best practices by GFOA, by Government Finance Officers Association. So when you look at what we're going to be proposing to you, we're proposing a 90 days cash operating expenses in all of the scenarios that you're going to be looking at. We're also, with our CFO here, he's going to make sure that we propose a revenue requirement that meets the debt service coverage of 1.3. And anywhere that we don't have that, he's going to say it and should say to us, give a minute, your revenue requirement doesn't meet these standards. And also, the other thing, and I didn't put it on this slide here, but as important as your operating reserve, it's your capital reserve. And one of the things that we, if we were to look at the finances, the financial statements of the port. Currently, right now, we're at about $6,000 of cash available in case something happens on the operating or on the capital side that we need to address. So when you look at these analyses, these scenarios that we've developed, we're going to make sure that you're sitting with about $6,000 to $7,000 of cash available for your capital expenses.
I didn't want to jump up and scream million, but.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for him.
Yes, go ahead, Bob.
Before we go below the operating revenue targets, in parentheses means generally negative. Does that say we need to make up 153 days and 147 days to get to?
In 2020, the proposal that we're doing to keep the lights on say that we're starting with negative cash operating expenses. So to get to 90, we'd be adding 90. That's correct.
Thank you.
Now, your debt service coverage, the target is 1.3 or higher. And so this is what we're proposing with the baseline. So the next one. So one of the things that I like to do when we do these analyses is I want you to know what happens if the Port Commission proposes no rate increases at all. You just say, let's hang it up, let's have a great lunch, but we're not going to do anything with the port rates at all, tariff rates at all. If that's the case, then what you're going to basically be able to see here is look at your net cash flow after the rate increase. In this case, there is no rate increase. And so all of a sudden you see a little bump here, and you say to yourself, wow, we didn't have a rate increase, but we had a bump. What happened? Well, in those situations, we're operating with legal fees or outside legal fees. We're hoping that by 2021, the $3.5 million that we're spending right now will go away. That's the assumptions that we're putting here. So we get the bump. But then notice that we continue to get a decrease in our cash flow where it goes negative over our forecast period. We're no longer in our sweet spot of 90 days cash operating expenses. So basically, look at our capital fund balance. Our capital fund balance, remember when I said we needed $7 million? We're now in a situation to where the port is not in a position to be able to fund any of its CIP that it proposes to the assembly. So in this situation, this is not good either. Notice the items that are in red. The items in red here are your debt service coverage. And so if we were to try and look at our line of credit and to refinance it with a revenue bond, we would not be in a position in 2021 or 2027 or 2028 or 2029 to meet the debt service coverage requirements of that bond. So doing nothing is what I'm saying is not a good recommendation. Now let's go to what it takes to keep the lights on. Keeping the lights on means that the policies that were recommended and agreed to by the municipality is to have an operating fund balance that's of 90 days. In fact, what's happening is you'll see, and I'll use 2029 as an example, your cash flow is pretty good. In fact, it's good enough to where you're actually sending $3 million down because you're each year 90 days cash operating expenses. You're transferring your operating fund to your capital fund. And by doing that, you're now in your sweet spot of $7 million. So with the proposed rate increase of keeping the lights on, it achieves the policy objectives, 90 days cash operating expenses, and also having $7 million in reserve for your capital. That's what it does for your debt service coverage. For your debt service coverage, if the CFO was to ask us, are you able, with these rate increases, to meet a 1.3 debt service ratio, our answer would be yes. And so then the question that we would have is, well, what is your proposed rate increase in order to achieve the sweet spots in your operating capital and your debt service coverage? They're right here. We would propose in 2020 a 3.5% rate increase, 2021 a 3.93% increase in rates, and then 3.01 from 2022 on through the forecast period. With those rate increases, you would be in a situation where you'd be achieving the policy objectives and basically being in a position to being able to operate the court.
How much of that is inflation?
Well, that's what's inflation is really what's showing up here, because we're assuming about a 3% inflation factor.
That's what I was wondering what your assumptions were.
So that's a really good point. And the other thing is with the other slide that Chet said, what happens if we don't do a rate increases, you're having no revenue increases and a 3% increase in your operating expenses. So the next slide.
Mr. Chair, before, in 2028 and 2029, whereas you show blank is actually 3%. For the rate increases?
Oh, thank you for pointing that out. That rate increase of 3.01 ends at the end of 2027, so we would not have rate increases in 2028 or 2029.
And I think part of the reason why is we don't know what the world's going to be like that far out. And we knew we'd have to go through this drill one more time. So let's look at a reasonable forecast period and think about the future when we get closer to it.
Thank you. So we know what we will be doing through a 5-year period. For sure. Thank you.
You know what I tell clients is always take these models and massage them and update them. 10 years is a long time. Things change that you wouldn't expect. 5 years, they might change that you wouldn't expect as well, but generally a little bit better. But if you massage these models as part of your process in conducting business, then you're in a situation to, you know, keep on track of your revenue requirement and what you need to do to raise.
Do you want to address the 40 million?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Thanks, Cheryl. So keep in mind that you're also, you can see, when you look at the capital funds, you'll basically see that we're basically taking the $40 million. Right now, it's a line of credit, and we're converting it into a revenue bond. Great. Thanks for keeping me on top.
And the rates will include the repayment of that. Rates include the repayment of that $40
million. $40
million, yes.
Correct.
Right.
So the baseline is considerate of that because we know that we will have to start paying that loan back in 2021. Right. So the rates are adjusted in 2021 to accommodate that repayment.
The principal plus interest, and they would be 3%?
I don't.
The assumption is that we would borrow the money at 3%.
Yeah.
And also the assumption is it's a 40-year revenue bond as well.
40 years?
40 years at 3%.
One more question. So the revenues that we show up top are including not just the revenues from tariffs, but the revenues from the preferential use agreements?
These are
the, or is it just specifically tariff?
Yes, these are the revenues for the PUAs as well. For the PUAs, we were assuming that they would go to 2.5% for 2020, and that after 2020, PUAs would then mirror the rate increases that are associated with the tariff. It's a very good question.
Which they haven't done in the past. Is that correct?
They have, right. So for 2020, the contract allows us to do CPI adjustments, and we believe that CPI adjustment in 2020 will allow us to do a 2.5% increase in PUAs. Okay.
Thank you.
Next one. So at this point, we're going to talk about the improvements that are are the next scenarios that we're going to be showing and what it's going to take to do those. And I think we're going to have Sharon and maybe Jeff come up and just walk you through the slides that are attributable to the $81 million for the PCT, the petroleum cement terminal, and the 60.5 and the 41, and to kind of compare and contrast what that means in terms of capital projects, and then I'll pick it up from there.
Okay, thanks, Bill. And just, you won't find these in your packet. They were a late addition this morning. We thought it'd be helpful to explain to people exactly what the increase, the numbers for the rest of Bill's presentation, what they're accomplishing if the tariff goes that direction. So I'm going to have Jeff step up. He's our program manager for the modernization project from Jacobs Engineering.
Thank you. So this slide shows that the total forecasted cost for the petroleum cement terminal right now is $214 million. We have funded $133 million to date with state and state grants and foreign equity sources of funding. And the options that are laid out that Bill will be walking through, a couple different levels. One of them is $41 million contribution through tariff increases, which represents about 19% of the total cost of that facility. $60.5 million is 29% of the total cost of the facility, and $81 million is the 38% of the total. Next slide. The $41 million option, if you will, represents installation of the dolphins, which are these components here, the caps and the catwalks that tie them all together, and the impressed current cathodic protection system to protect against corrosion.
And we do want to note that the base structure in the center there is already under contract and is being funded from monies already in hand.
And that's going to be constructed in 2020.
Is that all the way out to the base, or just
the trestle? The current contract?
Yeah.
It's the full trestle, and this platform structure right now is under contract. So we're talking about these catwalks and these dolphins in the caps to tie it all together. Which significance of that is it allows us to finish the regulatory permits that we have. Which right now the application is for work in 2020 and 2021 for all the in-water work. So that's a risk milestone that we would like to get to as the next step.
How difficult is it to extend those?
We would have to reapply, which is about a one-year process, and about, I won't even guess it, the financial cost of reapplication.
Yes, go ahead.
Question. Just one more time, I'm a little dense on this. Show me what work is going to be done in 2020.
Okay. The work in 2020 is construction of this trestle, just as it's shown, and this platform right here. So it's everything up to the top of the platform surface and the trestle surface.
And that's paid.
And that's paid for.
That's paid for under the $133 million that's broken.
Just to clarify.
Yep. So our permit right now, our regulatory permit, is construction 2020 of the in-water, the pile driving, and then 2021 is pile driving of these dolphin piles. So we think that's kind of the next most likely incremental step of construction is to complete that.
Does that include the work on the bank itself?
This stuff was constructed in 2019 this summer.
So that's all
line protection. Yes, sir. Transitional dredging. This was all dredged out this summer. And the previous summer, we did some soil improvements at the abutment to address liquefaction concerns under seismic design. So what we call the enabling works for the terminal itself are all completed through this summer. So we're looking at this next incremental step is to allow us to finish the work that's in our regulatory permits, National Marine Fisheries Service and our Corps of Engineers permits. Okay. Good question. Next slide. The next increment, if you will, is to complete the structure to a point where any vessel could tie up to it. So it's fully functional vessel and platform facility ready for build out. So it includes all the hand railing, utility work, fire, power, lighting, all those types of things that would make it fully functional terminal ready for use.
You might point out fenders.
These fenders are across the dock here, including the fender system.
Yeah.
So it's a fully functional platform or terminal ready for use.
What's the date that that could be completed?
Any one of these could be completed in 2021, these scopes of work.
So that's an additional $20 million over the 41,
yes.
Roughly?
Yep. Okay. So it's kind of $40 million allows us to finish all of our regulatory permit work, the in-water work. $60 million allows us to finish the fender system, utilities, all those types of things, so it's fully functional, ready to use. And then the next step is completion, which is $80 million, which is, what's the next slide? The hose tower, the operations building, ABI's build out, which I should note that ABI is responsible for all the cost to build out their stuff. So that's kind of a direct contribution on ABI's part under the agreement.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Simon.
Okay. The $40 million, just to be reiterate, is that you couldn't put a ship alongside there. With the 40, there's no hose.
You would have to put
no
in temporary fenders, like a Yokohama fenders, and you would have to take some.
Yeah, okay, so it's not a fully functional terminal, right? I mean, the dock. Okay, yes. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I can follow. So putting the fenders on given tide range and that is not considered in water work?
No, it's pile driving in water.
These fenders. The fender design is, they're cantilevered out off the dock. They're actually not pin pile like we have now.
That's a good point. This fender system is a different fender system than what's out here right now, which is pile supported.
Right.
These are hung off the dock. They're a design that we were lucky enough to see, inspired by the Nikiski dock. This is what they're using down in Nikiski, the Marathon facility.
Thank you.
It's not in the water.
Yeah.
Ron, go ahead.
So, $81 million brings it to completion, ready for service.
Yes.
What year could that happen?
2021. We can do any one of these.
If we had them.
It's a year, we can accomplish any one of these scopes in 1 year. But we can complete it in 2021 if we had the money.
Okay.
But as I said, there's some intermediate milestones. If we don't have the full $80 million, what would we accomplish in 2021?
And the baseline of that cost was on the construction this year?
No, it's escalated through 2021. So there's 3% escalation calculated in this $80 million to complete.
I just wonder if that was the estimated construction cost based on 2020's construction?
The estimate is broken out by these phases and escalated accordingly. So this remaining $80 million has got 3% escalation to reflect that it will be done in next year. It will be bid out next year, so it's got another year's worth of escalation added to it.
I'm going to be asked this question. That estimate is based on how much we're paying for the work we're going to do in 2020.
No.
Not at all.
It's based on the three previous estimates that we had from our designer of record, the CMAR contractor we were working with, and the independent cost estimator, Moffitt Nichols.
So the idea that we were able to do the 2020 work for less than we had expected, this $80 million number possibly could be a little bit less.
So that's a good question, and I'd have to say no. Just out of caution, the work that we let for the 2020 contract is pile driving, these pile caps, and all this deck structure. The work that we're talking about, the dolphins, are much bigger piling. All of this fuel work, the hose tower, it's a different type of work. So you can't take the bids that we got for the 2020 work, which came in significantly under our estimate, which is a win for us, and kind of apply that logic. So we may be lucky or fortunate enough to see lower pricing, but it's a different type of work that we're talking about to finish the program. So we're holding at our current estimate. It would be wonderful if the actual estimate or bids come in 20-30% lower than what we thought they were going to be as we found in 2020.
Cal, okay, or Simon?
With the $60.5 million option, would the dock be actually functional?
Yes.
Could they discharge cement? We could
No, it would be fully functional in terms of a vessel should tie off to the dock.
But there's, okay, so, I mean, okay, so it's not a function.
No, a user build
it's out. It's a labor. You can hang out.
It's a labor. All right, okay, right. Good. I think that's an important labor.
An important thing to note, though, is once that's where it is, then ABI has the ability to come in and install all their items. Correct, Ben?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. It's available. So those are the three milestones that we've laid out that we think from an engineering perspective makes sense to break the scopes depending on the funding available, whatever options we decide the tariff contribution to the financing of the project is appropriate.
Mr. Chair, as a follow-on to that last comment, so basically the $20 million is buying us petroleum capability?
Yes.
Thank you.
It's all the fuel piping and the hose tower and the ops building.
So that's a $20 million project.
Yes.
Thank you. So,
okay. So I think I take it from here because that's kind of when you're doing these types of projects and doing this type of analysis, the engineers are working pretty closely with the finance people. So in this particular situation, let me explain the debt service options. We talked about the $81 million, the $60.5 million, and the $41 million. And in addition to that, there are...
We don't have these. We don't have this.
Right. This was...
You don't have this slide either, but you'll start to have all the numbers. They're coming up next.
Okay.
Yeah.
This was a slide that I suggested that we put in today to give, you know, a summary of everything that you're going to see. It organizes all of the numbers that you're going to see. And the reason that I did that is I wanted you to see that the scenarios that are tied to each one of these numbers are the same. So, for example, in the $81 million, we ran a scenario that says rates that recover the debt service immediately. That is going with the cost causer, cost payer concept of let's do it. And those two commodities are the ones that are cost causers, cement and petroleum. What is the impact? And so we show that in this analysis. Notice that item 5 for the $60 million is the same, and item 9 for the $41 million is the same. So when we get to those, you're going to see a scenario of cost causer, cost payer, immediate, what is the impact? In item 2, we have rate smoothing, and so in this situation, we're ramping up the rates over a 5-year period of time to essentially get to a cost causer, cost payer. It avoids a rate shock, and you'll see that in your analysis. In the item 3, it's rates with ADA participation. In that, the finance terms that we are working with is the same in terms of the cost of the interest rate, but we're working with the fact that they have a 5-year forgiveness, and then they start paying the principal and interest in year 6. And so you'll see, as I'll show you in the rates, where we actually have a little bit of a blip, and so people will say, gee, things were going along really pretty good in terms of the rate increase, and why is there a blip? And the blip is associated with the fact that now we have the aid of participation and that it's due at year 6. And you can see that these are all the same. So that then in item 4, rates with aid of participation and smoothed, and again, smoothing was an attempt to say, gee, let's not have an immediate increase to those rates, and let's do this over a 5-year period of time to get there. We still are doing cost causer, cost payer. It's just we're doing it over a 5-year period of time.
Mr. Chair, could we ask the people on the telephone to mute their speakers, please? Thank you.
So now we're going to go through a lot of slides, but the whole reason that I wanted to do this is it helps you to organize in your own mind
81, the 60, and the 41, and then we've got these four options for each of them. So I think that that might help. And so, Cheryl, that's what. So we go to the first one, and this is the 80 million. Now, one of the things that I do when I have my staff working with me on this is when I open up this worksheet in this Excel workbook that you own as a work product, the first thing I do is I look at this. Am I at my sweet spot for my operating reserve? Am I getting an ending balance that gets me to $7 million? Am I getting a debt service coverage ratio that allows me to take loans out? That's the first thing that I do. And so as you go through each of these slides, my recommendation to you is do what I do. Are you achieving the 90 days cash operating reserves? Are you getting your $7 million? Do we have a debt service coverage ratio that allows us to take these loans out so that we can not violate any of the covenants of the loans? And to do that, it's a hit of 235% just to this commodity, those two commodities, petroleum and cement. Okay, Cheryl, I'm going to take you to the next. And again, now we're smoothing. And in the smoothing, we're saying, and if you've done what I've asked you to do, your eye should have gone here. 90 days cash operating reserve is there. Are we at the $7 million for construction reserves? The answer is yes. Are we at the debt service coverage? I'm going to go a little bit faster as I go through these because you're already, you know, zooming into what I'm looking at too. And so notice that instead of 235% as your hit one time, we're smoothing this. And this is our idea of smoothing. Can smoothing be different? Smoothing can be anything you want it to be. It's just that the longer that you smooth, the longer that the port has it's operating as is essentially coming out of the equity of the port. At 235, there's no impact to the equity of the port. In this situation, there is about a $4.7 million hit over the 5-year period of time to the port. Can it do this? Yeah. I mean, you can see that this smoothing achieves the operating and capital reserves. So that's there.
Mr. Chair, would you take a second to explain the difference for the debt service coverage and the variance from the baseline? Is that the baseline of our existing tariffs?
Yeah, it's the baseline of the tariffs, yes.
The baseline scenario.
The baseline scenario.
Thank you. So right. Baseline plus.
Right.
I'll go through these pretty quickly, but go to the next slide. So now we have ADA participation in here, and we're not smoothing. And notice this 64% rate increase. I'm sorry, you probably did what I did, which is, are you achieving your 90 days? Are you getting your $7 million? So as you read through and look at that, and your debt service coverage is good, then you just ask yourself, okay, I'm getting $81 million for this, and ADA is going to contribute 50 of it under their terms, and so we see the impact of 64%. We were streaming along pretty good, and the reason why is because the debt service terms that we modeled, that doesn't mean that ADA can't change their mind. But the debt service that we modeled was that in the first 5 years, you're not going to be paying principal and interest you'll get on your sixth year. And so that's where you see why you get an increase as you do. And this.
But we have no commitments from ADA to date.
Yeah.
I would say that we are in discussions. They are very much interested. $50 million is the capacity of their existing program, so if they were satisfied with the financial operation of the port and the proposed tariff rates that would meet these debt service coverage ratios, they would be interested in making a $50 million loan. But we're still finalizing those conversations.
Mr. Chair, and if their authorization was increased by the legislature?
So if we were actually to go through to the legislature, then we might start asking for even better terms. But that may not be in the timeline that we're looking for. And what is not covered in here as well is that we are also in discussions with the federal government. They have a TIFIA loan program, which is similar, well, it's a shorter time frame. It's a max of 40 years, but it's the interest rate is long-term treasuries, which is somewhere under 2%. So that we are also exploring that as well. It doesn't fundamentally change a lot of the information that's here, though.
But if I could follow, but it does, as we get through this apple and look down the road, there may be some legislative opportunity to increase ADA's authority in working with the court.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. On to the next slide. And now we're at a smoothing at $81 million with $50 million from ADA. And so, again, this was our idea of smoothing. And you can see that the rates go down pretty substantially. I mean, the hit, I want it now, and I want it, these two commodities to pay 2020, January 1, it's 235. Now we're down to 23.81%. And that was our run of smoothing.
Yeah. And that doesn't include the baseline increase.
No. Okay. I'm sorry, the 23.81 does.
Yes, they all include the baseline increase. Should never have to ask that question again, Brad.
Okay.
All include the baseline.
Yeah.
All right.
So I guess the point that I wanted to bring out with smoothing is, you know, when I've gone to a lot of different Alaska communities, different municipalities, different utilities, different ports, and you start looking at cost of service and you start adopting cost causer, cost payer, there's nothing wrong with that policy. The issue then becomes, do you want to get it immediately or do you want to ramp it up and do it over time? And so that's another policy question. So all I'm doing as your consultant is I'm telling you that here is a smoothing opportunity that can be done. Okay? And next slide. So now we're going to go through the same sub-scenarios of the $81 million, but we're talking about $60 million. So, again, you guys have already done your quick review. I mean, you said, okay, I got my 90 and my 7 million, and I got my debt service coverage. You've zoomed through that. So I'm just going down to 235 now becomes 176. I want it now. Okay? Next slide. And now I'm smoothing that. And again, do the review and see that because if I would get 90 days, if I'm way low here, and if I'm way low on our capital reserves, and I don't meet my debt service coverage, why take the opportunity to even review this? Right? It's what we do. And so now, you know, we're at the 170s, and we're smoothing, and we're in the 40s. And we're bringing this down pretty low. Okay, next slide. ADA and again, you can see that we're getting our 90 and our 7 million, that we're meeting our debt service coverage. And with Ada, we should be getting a bump, and we are, and the bump is coming because of the debt service financing. If Ada was to come up with different debt service financing that didn't have a 5-year plan that we modeled, then this wouldn't be there. But we're modeling what we understand is the debt service financing model.
Mr. Chair, so bear with another question along this line as I walk through. So at the 60.5 million, the tariff burden or reward is equal to both petroleum and cement, as the dock is not functioning for either, other than the labor.
Under the way that we modeled it, those would be the rates that would go into effect each year.
Or later.
Yep.
Thank you.
So now we're smoothing, and again, your 90 or 7 million are there. Your debt service is always covered. And our smoothing that we came up with was right here. So again, as a port commissioner, I would be saying, okay, what level am I going into? Is it 81? Is it 60.5? Is it 41? That's a determination I would make. And then we've given you some options within all of those categories of how you want to do it. If you, the philosophy of cost causer, cost payer is something you want to do on day one, I've given you the rates. If you want to smooth it, I've given you an opportunity to smooth that and get to cost causer, cost payer over 5 years. Okay, next. And again, you're beginning to see how these slides are really working and how this model is really working and how these rates are tied to being able to achieve your 90 days of cash operating and your 7 million. I'm sorry that I'm singing that tune, but that really is the financial position that we need to start from before we even talk about rates. And in this particular case, the sting on rates is 120%. And now what we've done is we've smoothed, and you can see that we're achieving the operating and capital reserves and debt service. And again, this was our recommendation on smoothing. You'll be at a cost causer, cost payer at the end of your 5-year period. Here's when Ada participates. Now, in this particular situation, Ada's participating, and in this particular case, Ada's participating 100%. The municipality is not issuing a revenue bond. And so you can see that these percentages will match what we're used to seeing with our baseline, and then there's your 92% increase.
Is that all just the operating revenue, is that just PCT?
The operating revenue would be all tariff, all services.
All
services. Okay.
Is that right?
So, did I hear the question?
On the phone? Is that you, Garrett?
Okay. I'll keep going then.
This is Garrett. I don't have any questions. I'm trying to digest all that through the chair. Thank you.
Okay. In this scenario, again, we've got our 90 days and our 7 million, and we're smoothing. And you can see that as we go from 21 million to 60 million to 41 million. The rates are going considerably down, and when we smooth, they go considerably down as well. So what we've been showing maybe in the past for rates was now with smoothing under these three options are going down. Okay?
So this,
go ahead, Steph.
I'm just looking at this one. This one doesn't look right to me. The proposed rate increases when you're smoothing are at like 9.87%, and you go back to the previous slide and they're 3.5.
And that's because that's a good question. That's a good question. Here's the reason why.
Okay, I must have missed that on all the other ones.
No. Here's the reason why. That's a really good question. Because we're 100% under an ADA funding.
Right.
And ADA has told us is how we modeled it, for principal and interest, take a break for 5 years. And so all we're doing is we're implementing the tariff increases, the general tariff increases, so that we are able to stay on track for our 90. That's a very good question.
But going out to 90.
2025.
Yeah, the 9% at the bottom.
92.
Right. And now it's come due. And so we need to pay the principal and interest in year 6. Okay.
And that's the assuming you're drawing on that total in 2020 for construction in 2021?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Yes. That's
you're drawing it the full amount in 2021-ish?
Yeah, these are all modeled the same way. It's arguable how much we would spend in 2020 versus 2021, but the differential is really very minor when you think about it.
Okay.
So the chair, the 41 just gets us past the regulatory hurdle of in-water construction. Doesn't get us anything. Doesn't even get us labor. We get dolphins attached with catwalks to the structure and the trestle. Yeah, that's it.
And it buys us time to see if there's other sources of grants or merit.
But in the meantime, users are paying that percentage for not something they can't use.
Yeah, good point. That's pretty interesting.
Right. They would start paying in 2025.
Because they would continue to pay the normal tariff
for
existing infrastructure.
Right. What we're modeling is the assumption that we get it.
Sure.
And what we're modeling is that it's a 5-year
grace period.
And in the meantime, they're paying tariff rates like everybody else.
Sure.
To keep the lights on.
Mr. Chair, I hate to backtrack, but as we look at this being ADA money only, could we go back to the 81 million and see what proportion of those rail were 50 million from ADA, X amount from revenue bonds, short term loan? What are those numbers to get to 81 million? Do we have them?
So I think you're already there.
Yeah.
Here's what they are here. And again, so 50.
No. I know the numbers that you have in the model. My question is, are we issuing 30 million in revenue bonds?
Yes.
Are we issuing 1 million in short term? Are we issuing 5 million in short term?
So the way that we do that, and I know Alex knows this better than I do, but the way we do it is anything that's going to be funded through a revenue bond from the municipality of Anchorage starts out with short term borrowing plan.
Okay.
And then the following year goes to a long term borrowing plan. Bond.
So 31 million is going to be short term to long term.
Right.
Is this assumption
that is in place?
Right.
Is the assumption the volumes are flat across the board, or is there an escalation? Or
we didn't, so for rates, that's a really good point. For rates, we didn't assume that we were going to have a demand change. That's a good point. If we did, then our rates would have to go up, right, in order to keep these, in order to basically pay the principal and interest on those bonds.
Are you saying if they go down, the volumes?
If the demand falls. Mm-hmm.
If the demand falls, if the demand falls, and I've run some scenarios where demand falls 10%, and so these increases to these rates would have to go up. I've got them. I just didn't want to inundate us with more, but I've got them.
Yeah. I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm. I can certainly provide those. Okay.
Back to where we were.
Yeah, back to where
Thank
we
you.
were.
I just needed to understand that.
She's through the slides. So what I'm attempting to do here is to basically show you a lot of numbers so that you can go, oh my God, those are a lot of numbers. And that's why I attempted to kind of summarize them in terms of 81 versus 60 versus 41. So you can sit there and say, "Oh, okay, this is what I get," and then the options that are associated with each one of them. And I don't know how much. So I'll let you go to the next slide, Cheryl.
Oh, Bill, question, quick. Oh, so if you wanted in your head to think per gallon. We divide by
42.
Right.
Okay. And
barrels, Sharon. Got it.
Okay. And then, so I've got these in petroleum, and then I think there's another one in cement. And this is just attempting to take the tariff rate that we know, so we can check the tariff out, and then see how this affects essentially what happens to the rates when we apply these different types of options. Okay. Is there any questions?
Can we do this one or no?
So this was a slide that we put together to kind of show the increase in tariff rates with the volumes based on debt service. And what we're trying to show here is that for each $10 million in increase in debt, what the impact is. So it's about two cents for petroleum, and it's about 41 cents for cement. So you can see that that's pretty linear.
Say that again, please.
What we're trying to show here is that as we increase the debt borrowing, what's the impact on the rate? And so what we're showing is for petroleum, it would go from 12 cents, and then an additional 10 million would be 16 cents. So we're showing what the impact would be, 4 cents.
So it's kind of not just the 40, 60, 80. It's
for every
$10 million
increase. This is how much the increase.
$10 million
increase. One is per gallon, one is per ton, right? So you're not
right.
Correlating.
No, they're separate. Mm-hmm. The calculation is
right.
Yeah. Thank you for clarifying. Right. Per $10 million, I'm missing that reference point on.
Yeah, right.
Well.
So, on the bottom, we can label that
yeah,
better for next time.
Think in terms of your
units. What's the current cost of a ton of cement?
Right? Close to that dollar value.
But it doesn't line up.
Current cost?
Yeah, well, how much is a ton of cement right now?
Yeah.
So it looks like it is bigger on the cement.
Yes.
It varies.
Yeah.
It varies. Really?
Yes.
Odd, isn't it? Yeah, it goes up and down. But what can be a rough?
You're getting the head sand at the end, and you guys are...
Well,
correct. So you're saying it's okay. Yeah, okay, let's go ahead, Bill.
Okay. Was there a question
to be asked? I was trying to get a feel for what the current cost of a ton of cement would be in 2019 before any increases. Do you have that?
So cement, here's the tariff rate.
Yeah, we
don't have that. No, but I want to know what a ton of cement costs. before the increase.
Market.
I don't know the answer to that question.
It's not a published rate.
Is there?
Range?
Everything that we give is projected on slides and given out, and so we're very cautious of that because we're a publicly held company, and we're careful with what we release because everything that we release is published on slides and newspaper articles.
You go to Home Depot and buy it, how much it's going to cost you.
I don't know.
I looked online this morning and it was between $85 and $100 a ton was the number I saw. But it was kind of meaningless. Like, was it a retail one or was it X Doc or what? But, I just was trying to get a feel for that.
So the last slide, the TEU rates based on debt service. So again, what we're trying to show here is the amount of debt what we would have to get for that particular revenue requirement. So if we issued $100 million. Of debt, assuming 3% interest and a 40-year bond, that comes to a principal and interest payment that it needs to get paid. And if we took that number and divided it by the TEUs of 450,000, that's the demand that we're using, then that would get you to $12.56.
And how does that relate to the PCP debt?
So it is not intended to relate to the PCT debt at all.
Right.
Just information.
Yeah.
Just information.
Previewing what may be coming with cargo. And the report that was issued, there was a suggestion that you might think about starting charging for additional rates for the TEU, knowing that we're going to be spending hundreds of millions on the cargo dock sometime real soon. Let's start raising some money now.
So all the model scenarios that you've shown were based on achieving the revenue requirement. This is what I would say is a surcharge. And so if the port wished to do that, This is one idea of how to establish a surcharge that would then go into a sinking fund that would be used to essentially fund the cargo dock. And it's not a sinking fund and basically reserving those funds is something that the municipality has done several times. MLMP does it for their Beluga River gas field. I actually helped develop that surcharge. And the Solid Waste Services does it for the landfill of Eagle River. That's all the slides that I have. Do you have any questions?
So will these be additional slides be accessible?
Yes.
Yeah, we will make sure that after this meeting, the new slide deck that's got the graphics in it, and this updated A2 slide goes out to everybody who's here. I'm pretty sure we got everybody's email
address. I'll put it on the website. You'll put it on the website.
It's huge. It's a huge file. 26. Okay.
Have I just been exonerated from having to email it?
Yeah.
If it goes on the
so
website.
We'll put it on the website.
You have to give it to me.
Just send us the link.
We'll send the link to the website.
Fair
but
enough.
It's a huge.
This is a 30 meg slide right now.
Okay.
A question about the 3% interest. I take it that's fairly easily achievable for 50 years or 40 years. If rates go down, because I've been hearing that there is potential for a rate decrease, can you refinance those and get it at a lower rate? Or are you?
The answer is yes.
It is, okay.
Yeah. So to give you perspective, so we just issued some general obligation bonds, which have a higher level of quality. They're AAA relative to the port, which I believe is single A. So we issued those at last month for 2.2%, which is, I think, as low as we've issued paper in 5 years. But if rates do go down, you know, it might get down to 2.5% for revenue bonds, but it kind of, there's the
floor. Okay.
Unless
Thank
it goes
you.
Substantially
yeah.
lower.
Thank you.
Plus, I don't know if I should say this, but he has staff that reviews interest rates routinely to see
right.
whether
sure.
or not you should be refinancing.
Steve, did you?
Yeah, I just wanted to, and I'm surprised nobody's asked up to this point, but maybe I'm getting ahead of the curve over here. In addition to all this that's going on, and you know, because we kind of keep you abreast of what's going on down here, we apply for a lot of grants at the federal level. And through FEMA and other sources that we hope will offset the amount of money, if awarded, will offset the amount of money that we're going to have to borrow. Should that materialize, then we certainly will go back and look at what the requirements would be for debt service coverage now that the dollar value we would have to borrow for is less than what it is as we present these scenarios as we know it today.
So that
flexibility will always be there.
Is that based on construction? Like, if you got a grant now, would that only go apply to PCT, or are you talking about future?
It will apply to the context in which the grant money was asked for.
Right.
In this case, we don't have a design for cargo docks to go get a grant for. It's been all PCT all the time.
Okay.
So a big award against those dollar values is worth the sit down and a reconsideration of what the way ahead would have to be.
Can you remind me what the ask was on the lawsuit for MARAD? Remember?
Well, I'm going to put a number out there, and it's going to it's somewhere in the $300 million range. Okay. We've been asked, I believe. The municipal attorney will tell you is if we get an award of that size, there will be no instructions attached to it as to how you could use it. So we would have to sit down. It's a policy level decision that we'll have to involve the leadership with. How do we take that and apportion it? Does it all go to the north end because that's about what it's going to take to fix the whole thing, or is there some of that we can apply to what's going on on the rest of the port? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not going to get to make the call. But we're going to sit down and have some conversations once there's a settlement or an award that's sizable enough to give some thought to.
Mr.
Chairman,
Steve, two questions. Number one, do you have any sense for the timing on these grant requests?
I'm going to defer to Sharon, who lives and breathes all the grants.
So the two that we still have pending is the BUILD program, which it has a statutory requirement to have their announcements out by the end of the year. So that's pretty short term. The other one, our ask there was $25 million. And the second one that we have pending is the Port Infrastructure Development Grant. It's a new program. They don't have a statutory requirement as to when to award projects. The words that they used is in a phone call with. But, of course, we want to follow Congress's intent to get this money out. But and that asks us for $20 million. We don't know if you get one, how do you stand for options on the other? Are they going to spread it around? We don't know.
The second question on the MARAD award, will all of that award come to the port? Is that
going to
have to be split?
Well, it's the
other parties.
It's U.S. versus the municipality of Anchorage. I have great faith that if there's an award, even though it's to the municipality, that all of it will come to us.
Thank you.
Yeah, particularly since nobody else has been paying for lawyers. But
right.
us.
The previous settlements
but, you know, that's going to be an assembly call, and that's going to be a recommendation from the administration as to how to do that.
The previous settlements are in port equity, so we have them.
Yes, Ron?
So, peripherally, we discussed the PUAs, but I was unclear. When we look at years ahead, we're talking PUA for the next year, which has a CPI built into it. What is the term of the PUAs?
They will, both companies' PUAs will expire at the end of 2020.
Okay.
So we will have to go back and renegotiate. And at that stage of the game, and you know, we have pretty frank conversations with both Matson and Tote, and we may find ourselves in a situation where, well, maybe we can come up with a better arrangement than this thing we've called a PUA. We don't know yet. But we do know that there is a sunset date on the current ones, and something has to be done after that. And what that construct is going to look like is up for grabs. But some of these notional things that we're putting out there now is to get everybody thinking about just what the terms and conditions of the next one ought to be.
Absent agreement on a PUA subsequent to the termination in 2020, they would pay published tariff.
Yeah, if there were no PUAs, then you know we'd be talking about the published tariff rates.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I think I understood from the presentation that the working group is still active and communicating with board staff and other interested parties on how we might achieve.
Oh.
The user group?
Is it the user
group? User group.
Yeah.
User group.
So the port user group, which is encompassed by 8 companies and the primary users, yeah, we do regularly meet every 2 weeks. And, I mean, it's a lot of the stuff that we go over. I actually have a letter here I'll read, and it's our thoughts on perhaps how to proceed with tariffs. But I was going to wait until we had a comment period for that.
Yes, public comment will be the appropriate time.
Yep.
Excuse me, could I get a clarification? I think perhaps you were asking about the value engineering work group. It was formed by, it was initiated by the assembly.
Let me rephrase my question. Are interested parties talking with, to each other?
Yes.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
Talking and listening are 2 different points, though.
Any further questions for Bill?
Thank you for just a comment. Thank you for walking us through what we accomplish at the different levels and how can different smoothing models for deferred tariffs be applied so we understand the impact to the industry, because the question of elasticity has been, shall I say, very elastic in trying to get a straight answer on it.
And I have some sample elasticities that I can provide to the board staff, and they can provide to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other discussions amongst the commissioners on the terminal tariff presentation?
Just one thing, and I maybe should ask before you sat down, I'm sorry, but if the baseline tariff is not adopted immediately, if nothing is done, I believe we would have an increase anyway, a 4% increase that's already within the tariff for the next few months. Is that correct?
The current tariff, yeah, is in effect until 31 December. 2019, until either a new tariff is put in place, or in light of this ton of information that you're trying to get your heads around, you would like to extend the current tariff for a period of time, hopefully not to exceed a quarter. And I'll let Alex jump in as to how quickly we have to have a commitment to something to get financing. But
I'm going
to
walk back Steve's comment. We want a decision on a tariff increase before the end of the year. It has to get to the assembly before the end of the year so they can approve,
right,
it. So you do have to make a decision.
But if we were to extend the existing for, say, 90 days until
what would
that look like?
Highly discourage that. We've, I think, provided you with a lot of good information on the path forward. I think it cannot be overemphasized 2 things. One, as you've heard a lot, the port isn't in the best condition. And this mayor and the administration, I think, along with the assembly, do not want to be the one sitting here when it falls in the water because we didn't do anything. And that's why we're acting as quickly as possible. And so we would encourage you to take this information. As Bill said, there's lots of ways to smooth. And the key aspect, as you look at that, is you've seen in many of those things, we run down the very low cash out in 21-22, and then the smoothing starts to rebuild those cash levels. But in order for us to be able to borrow money, we need to go into the market and show them that we have a model based on approved tariffs that are going to provide for a debt service coverage ratio that they will then lend us the money.
Mr. Chair, could I follow on the probability of getting $50 million from ADA?
You know, I want to say the probability is high. They like the project. They're in business to support industry. This is a critical piece, as you know, of Alaska infrastructure. And it's just we need to have one more conversation for them to understand the economics of the operation of the port. Once they have a clear grasp on that, I think they can make a decision.
What's the max?
50 is
the
max.
But what is the max you can do without the legislature?
50.
Okay. How much can you do with the legislature?
As much as you can talk them into. Yeah. They did, I think, $150 million for Fairbanks. But
yeah. And there's a six-year grace period.
Five.
Five, is it?
Five-year
grace period.
Five,
okay.
Having not been able to make the presentation at the Enterprise Committee last week, could you give us, as a commission, just an inkling of how they took this? What their, or the mood of the Enterprise Committee on this?
Enterprise meaning the Enterprise Committee of the Assembly?
Yeah.
There's a rep right there.
I thought it went well from the standpoint of the committee in terms of we're looking at what the commission advises and incorporate feedback from all the interested parties.
But this kind of detail was not presented to the Enterprise Oversight Committee.
It was
10 minutes of, hey, this is what we're going to do with the Port Commission next week.
Okay.
And well, I think they had the models. We just didn't
But we didn't go through every one of those slides. We went through some of the higher level.
Well, I don't know about them, but my eyes crossed about the fourth spreadsheet without the explanation that we got today. That made a huge difference. I mean, the infrastructure in particular. That makes a big difference to know, or we're going to be able to build something with this or not.
Yeah.
And I think the Assembly is clearly looking for your input as being more knowledgeable about the ports.
Mr. Chair, in the infrastructure, I think what was critical that I did not understand is once we get the $61 million done to a lay dock, then one has to pay for its infrastructure, and the other we have to borrow for their infrastructure.
Right.
So, thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Public comments.
Okay, any more comments from the administration, from the port staff on the tariff?
Yeah, Mr. Wilkes did our talking for us.
Okay.
Now, we are, we're prepared. If there are questions that are raised during the public comment period, we're prepared to take those down and respond to those in a timely manner to everybody. Just to keep you guys on schedule today, an open Q&A would, I think, be time consuming. But I would ask if maybe Alex goes first, because he does have a statement to make on behalf of the user group.
Mr. Chair, may I ask a gentleman standing to not have condescending views of this board? Your behavior, I'm finding, crumbling. Yes, I am addressing you.
I was not referring to the board.
No, you have been looking and beetling your brow, and you have had behavior that...
Excuse me? Out of order. Disrespect to the public.
It's not a disrespect to the public. It is an individual that is making me, as a commissioner, feel uncomfortable.
All I'm doing here is listening to what you're all doing, and with all due respect, Chair, Vice Chair, I'm just sitting here listening, and then I didn't speak until when I'm being recognized.
Okay, well, I won't accept that. But
I don't like the inappropriate. This is an example of showing that the public's not really welcome with that kind of comment.
We'll stop it at this point. I will withdraw my comment. Thank you.
Okay.
Simon? I just want to ask, what's the next point of order here? Are we being asked, are we going to be asked to make a decision, or are we going to listen to public comments? I'd be interested to hear.
Well, I think
before we make a recommendation, so what the plan is?
I was thinking we would discuss after the administration and everything how we want to move forward. I would like a little time to digest everything, have another follow-up meeting before we voted on it.
Because we do have a deadline here of December the 31st, right?
Right.
And I think you guys have a meeting scheduled. Is it for November 13th?
I won't be here.
If you pass a vote on something by November 13th, that gives us enough time.
Okay. Yeah, and if I can, the actual, no kidding, last drop-dead date is November the 22nd, because that's the last opportunity we'll have to put all the required paperwork into PACE so that it's ready for introduction for public hearing at the December 3rd assembly meeting, and then it will be heard for public hearing 2 weeks hence at the last assembly meeting scheduled for the year. So November 22nd is your drop-dead date for having a recommendation to go to the assembly.
Okay.
Just want to confirm that if this project, if it's set, mid-November, if commissioners are not present here, can we vote by phone? Would that be acceptable, or by email?
Code
allows you guys to vote telephonically.
Okay,
good.
But
thank
not
you
by
very
email.
Much.
Yeah, it has to be telephonically.
Okay. As long as you have quorum,
right.
Either
a
present,
quorum, yeah,
present,
yes, okay,
or
yeah,
or telephonically available.
Quorum,
yeah,
okay,
includes the person on the phone.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Chair, I'd propose that we listen to public comment before we make a decision on our next move here.
I agree.
Okay. You want to set some rules?
Got 10 minutes.
Hold on a
minute. Would like to make a public comment.
2:00.
Yeah, how many people here would like to make a public comment?
There should be a list.
It's advertised
at
2:00. Yeah, 2 p.m. is good.
Okay,
is there,
thank you.
You've got till 2 p.m.
I would like to make a brief public comment.
Thank you.
Okay. So we have three people, so we want to make a motion to...
It's on the agenda.
Well, I know, but if we're going to back up to... I guess, okay, yeah, we won't need one yet.
No.
Okay. All right, well, let's start on public comments. Alex...
Hi, I'm Alex Hoefling, Vice President of TOTE, and first I want to thank the Commission and the Port Administration, Mr. Walt's great presentation, it was very enlightening. So I'm going to speak on behalf of the user group, and I'll submit a letter, so I'm just going to kind of pull out the key elements of the letter that we'll submit. So the Port of Alaska user group, our opinion is that modernization-related tariffs should only be enacted when key conditions are satisfied, such as having key stakeholder buy-in on the port design and the project management structure, a thoroughly vetted elasticity model, which we talked about, and a comprehensive financing plan. The tariff proposals before you could have significant effects on costs for everyone who depend on goods conveyed through the Port of Alaska and the businesses that deliver those goods for years to come. The elasticity study would also allow key stakeholders to understand tariff-related ramifications to avoid unintended and unanticipated consequences, such as demand change. Further, a comprehensive finance plan that includes identification and validating of other funding mechanisms before relying solely on port board, not solely, but before relying on port users to fund the modernization plan is a critical step not to be overlooked. Therefore, the Port of Alaska User Group, we respectfully urge the Port Commission and the Anchorage Assembly to adopt modest the baseline increases. And I believe that is those are the key elements. I can get this out to people once I just want to make sure the eight primary users are good with it. Thank you. Any questions?
So to be clear, the financing you saw today,
yeah,
is does not
is not comfortable with your groups?
Yeah. So, you know, there are several presented, right? So the one that we would be comfortable with would be the keep the lights on, modest increases, and let some of this other stuff develop, the aid alone, get further along in some of the other elements that I talked about, including the elasticity model, what's that going to do to demand? There's a lot of concerns with, we're with the cargo users, but with sure. the petroleum users. So let some of that other stuff play through before relying heavily on the tariff to fund the modernization plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Welcome. Mr.
Chair. Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Alex?
You said that you had to wait to give us the letter until you were sure everyone was on board?
So the letter is ready to go. There are a couple changes that I'd like to make just upon hearing this presentation. So what's the time frame that you, the commission, would like to get it? Which should not take long.
Like yesterday. Either now.
Okay.
You can see that we're under some pressure here. But,
right.
And you know, you just said, if I missed, maybe I misunderstood you, but you yep. said that all eight users were not on board yet.
All eight users endorsed what I just said and endorsed this letter.
But then you have to ask about edits that you're planning to make.
Some very minor edits.
Okay. So would you be comfortable just giving it to us now?
Sure. Yeah, before I leave, I'll hand it out. So okay. We've got copies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If we could get it electronic, sorry. If we could get it electronic, that would be great.
I can do that too. Yeah.
My name is Eugene Carr-Haberman. I represent myself and follow the public process. When public process is done appropriately, decisions made by the governing body is more likely public interest. First, after many meetings, we finally have the packets and the agenda for this meeting on the mini website. Thank you, finally. On that. And this is the first time I've seen. I've raised concern over the past. Now, unfortunately, as far as that site where it's placed, it's going to be deleted. Hours, day, it's not going to be there. It's not permanent. But also, I did check the Port Commission site, and the Port Commission site is advertising this meeting as November 13, 2019, noon to 1:30, though the agenda and packet is correct. But anyone looking at the Port Commission site is led to believe that there's no Port Commission meeting. Okay? That's there right now. I took a photograph to timestamp it. I attend a lot of meetings. Let me go on one issue that stood out. Some of you were at the Enterprise Committee meeting of the Assembly, the last one. There was a place on the agenda for public comment in the end. A place for public comment. There were some there that would like to have talked, and forget me, but for public and parties here in this room, I wanted to talk, but there was no chance for it. They were out of time. They set up a situation that people that are present here had no chance to speak there, and we're talking and dealing with the subject of the court, and that was the last meeting. This is Thursday, there were two of three meetings of the Anchorage Assembly Committee. All three had a place for public comment. Only the third one had a place they allowed for the public to speak last Thursday. And then the connection, excuse me, I'm on top. I'm trying to connect with the situation of what's going on. Now, part of the expense of the borough muni, is the budget. And there's major presentations going on by the city. And last night, about 11:45, that's when they allowed the public to speak on seven public hearings on the budget. No chance to deal with the city budget and the public to speak, little or nothing. That's when it happened. That was a few minutes before midnight. And only a couple people were able to go, and I was one of them. And in respect to make it clearly on the record to the statement was said earlier about me, my name is Eugene. My words during the entire meeting was the following. One party was leaving, and I suggested that they stay for my comment. That's all I said. The other comment over here was briefly saying, so it's on the record, was the Enterprise Committee, not the Commission, didn't have allowed a public opportunity to speak. I've been bullied, intimidated, and threatened. I've been defamed. But the fact is, in closing, a lot of people, the silent majority, is really glad I'm in this room. And you need to get this room in closing, this meeting, out to the public, in public video audio, so it's on the record to what really is going on. Because the issues here today, I knew, would be very, very important. But who knows about it except for the few people in this room? Thank you.
Jim, can you make sure the accuracy of
I think it was a typo that got put on there. I apologize for that.
Well, thank you for your comments through the chair. However, we have no control over the Muni or the Enterprise Commission or any of these other meetings. We can only really address what happens in this meeting.
Could I just a few second response? Those that were didn't have that chance, next time I would encourage you to address your concerns and next time to the Enterprise Committee and also the Assembly meetings to address the concern that you've not been having an opportunity to speak. You need to connect with all due respect. These are important issues to you, and you need to have a fair chance. Thank you.
Any other public comments?
I just have one. I want to remind you that the tariffs are only on about 50% of the fuel that goes to the airport. So there's an imbalance as far as the cost structure. Half of the fuel comes directly into the airport.
From the pipeline.
Right.
And
right.
Does any of it go through the rail yard? Or?
No.
That's different. That tariff is different than what you're considering.
But it does go through the rail yard.
It does.
From the pipeline.
And that'll be, right. The way the models work is that would receive a 3.5% baseline increase, not the wharf, over the wharf increase.
Okay.
Right? So the fuel transportation costs would be different.
Okay. Can you clarify that for me?
Sure. We have a pipeline that comes directly from the Chiskey Marathon
winery,
and it goes directly into the airport. That's about 50% of our supply.
Okay.
So that would be tariff-free.
Correct.
So half of the fuel would be half a penny more, however much the tariff is. And that's the incremental demand because the demand basically flexes, in theory, they have contracts, but long-term it flexes with imports. So demand at the airport goes up, imports go up. Demand at the airport goes down, imports go down.
However, the pipeline's operated at 100% capacity, and that gives you 50% of your... But the pipeline has gone down for months at a time,
mm-hmm.
has it not?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Not months at a time.
Oh, yeah. Periods
of time.
Like the whole month of July a few years ago.
Yeah.
I remember.
And they barge in and we shifted up through our pipeline.
And just for clarification, go ahead. Pushing the product through the pipeline is not free either.
No, there's a cost associated with grit. Yeah. Correct.
And could I ask another question based to follow that up, Captain Mailer? The dock at Nikiski is undergoing repairs even as we speak, is it not? Constantly being repaired and updated?
Ron, I think that the answer, there's always maintenance. It's an old dock, and
I think it's a little beyond maintenance at this point, isn't it?
No, I wouldn't say it's
okay.
There's, there was damage further down, but that was not our dock.
Right.
That was not what was in the news and damage down in Nikiski and the dock. There's a misconception.
I think if the IRS were to look at it, there's a difference between capital repair and maintenance is what my point is, and that you're at the stage where you're actually rebuilding the dock in a lot of ways.
Structurally, it's big rebuilds, but a lot of the pipeline and updates, that's absolutely been going on.
And that dock was built when?
The dock was what?
Built when?
Early 60s.
Right. Pretty much the same time this dock was built, yeah. But it doesn't really take as much ice hit as this dock does. It's not, Anyway, sorry.
No,
Mr. Chairman, my apologies.
Mr. Chairman, I did want to clarify. It's 100% capacity right now for the Marathon Pipeline.
Because they ship jet, diesel, and gasoline. So it's
100% capacity.
So they could bump up.
50% is dependent on the port.
Right now.
So depending on demand.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're, like you said, very capacity. So that's kind of a fixed number. And it's as it goes up and down.
Thank you for the clarification. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Do we want to address the vote discussions on the tariff?
I'd like to make a motion.
Oh, go ahead then.
I make a motion that we approve the baseline increase to $81 million with the $50 million ADA in 2020 smooth to keep this project moving, because I feel that the federal permits involved with the in-water portion of the construction are going to be extremely difficult to get later on if we let that lapse. I see no sense I made the motion. I guess I'm segueing into discussion or proving my point, but that's my motion. I move that we approve that, because then I'll start the discussion.
And I'll second his motion.
Okay, any discussion?
So, I started to say, I feel like that those permits are going to be very difficult to get. I just was on a seismic ship in the lower inlet for untold days, and they had marine observers, aircraft, looking for belugas. They have, you know, it's such an enormous thing anymore to do something in the inlet. And I feel like, you know, if we have the permits in place, we need to at least get that done. But when I look at it, just getting that done, what good is a trestle with some dolphins and catwalks? You can't tie a ship up to it. And even if it was a labyrinth, that's ridiculous. I mean, there's no sense in a labyrinth. Now, when you look at the costs associated, I wish the cement guy was still here, but...
Scott's here.
Oh, okay, sorry. The other fellow left, but... it's going to be somewhat expensive, but smooth with the aid of money, it's not all that unreasonable, I don't believe.
That's the problem. We don't know. I would like to see some kind of sensitivity study as well, so we know what...
Well, let's look at it. Let's just look at 2029 on that sheet for aid of smooth. It's 56 cents is the increase in 2020. That's the biggest increase, all right? So... if you divide that by 42 gallons, you know, per barrel, you get 1 cent, 0.013 increase per gallon of fuel. And I submit to you that fuel fluctuates wildly either side of a cent every minute, you know. I could be wrong, but I don't feel that that's exorbitant. And I'm willing to discuss the cement side, but I just did some quick figures on that. But it just seemed that was not all that unrealistic to give them a dock that they can work at all the time, as opposed to, you know, man lifts and hoses and shutting down in the rain and, you know, all the other things they deal with here. We obviously can't live without cement. Cement is viable, very, very required for construction, but I don't think it's going to shut them down.
What would that increase, and what would that add to per ship?
Where was it? Okay.
Just to clarify, our operation basically is not going to change on the new dock. We're not going to be covering ships. We'll still have the same issue with rain as what we have now. Same equipment that we'll be sharing with the petroleum people. So getting them changed much for us.
Mr. Chair, the reason I support Captain Boyd's proposal is because if we're going to invest to that level, we really need to invest to a fully operational facility. And stopping short, I think, is going to just delay another year of operation, but it will put a burden on the operator, on the users, to have it being paying a tariff for a labor. I think we have to get the in-water work done, and I have any concern that anything that you're doing above the water is also going to be under scrutiny. So I would rather just see everything completed.
Mr. Chair, one comment if I could to help you understand. So in the tanker business, as you're coming up with numbers, just to share, a tanker that we'll bring into Anchorage will have approximately 315,000 barrels of jet. So as you're calculating your numbers on what that increase will be, that's a good round number per tanker that we bring up.
Thanks, Paul.
Mr. Chair, this is Garrett Wong. Whenever you're ready to recognize, I'll stand by with comment.
Yeah, please stand by, Garrett. Simon's up, and then we'll have you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
I am deeply concerned about kicking this issue down the road. I've been on this commission for 10 years, and if we let it slide any longer, all we will be doing is we'll be having the same conversation in 2029. Hopefully I won't be on the commission by then. And also I think that, you know, I think we should move forward. It's unlikely that we're ever going to be able to find money at this rate of interest. And that, I mean, I would be deeply concerned, and I wonder if the businesses here, what we would do is if the dock fell in the water. I mean, because they'll be coming back to us and say, why didn't you do anything about it? I'm not in the blame game, but I think we have to move. I really think we have to move.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Garrett?
Thank you. I wanted to say that I thought today's presentation, in terms of spreadsheets and assumptions and build-outs, leads me, at least in one part of my thinking, to support this motion to approve for the $81 million smooth. That being said, I think there are a couple of issues that can continue to perplex all of us. I mean, excuse me. The one variable, the multiple variables between whether the ADA financing is nailed down is an issue. The issue of what are the impacts to the end users and to the revenue stream that might result. I think those are all very fair and valid assumptions and concerns. But I think one of the things that any business owner, whether you're publicly traded or privately held, needs is certainty. And I think, you know, I've sat on this commission now recently for a year, about that long, and I don't know that right now the variables are any more clear than they were back then. But for the introduction of the ADA financing opportunities that might be there, I think from my perspective, if we're going to try to act responsibly in moving this port from its disrepair existence to a moving in the direction of getting it functional sooner than later, I think this is a course that allows us to have that conversation, because when you put a plan certain on the table, then the end users are going to be able to feel what the elasticity outcome might be. And if changes need to be made because it's too much, well, I don't know. I'm hoping that we can revisit this thing and say, okay, here are some other things that have flashed out between here and there. But I think if we let the argument that variables are too uncertain, therefore we should not make any decision at all, I think puts us in a point of kicking the can down the road, and so when do we stop kicking it? So those are my comments.
That's true.
Steph?
Yeah. So I think I have a couple of questions, and I know Sharon, this was asked earlier, and I can't remember what the response was. When do we make the ADA application, and when would we hear?
That's right. So we're in the process of discussion with them. So I think one more discussion. We have functionally been asking for it. I don't know if there's a formal application process, but we're doing that as we speak.
Right. So do you have a – I guess what I'd like to know is when are you going to know one way or the other?
Before the end of the year.
Okay. Would you know by November 13th? November 20th?
That I don't know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Right. So the concern I've got is that I think, to me, I still feel like this is a, particularly without having a sense of where the ADA piece is going to go, this feels like to me like it's a huge step up burden-wise on the stakeholders. At the same time, I, of course, don't want our dock, you know, our facilities to fall in the water. So my thinking had been that at the very least, one other question I want to ask is, for the people who, is there additional information that could be presented to us between now and November 13th that would impact this vote? I'm sort of looking at the stakeholders.
An elasticity study would be the
thing. Who would be doing that elasticity?
How do we get that going?
I've been hearing about that since the last time we were all in a room and your group formed, but it's never come to us. I mean, have you guys done anything on it?
We can do it.
Because you've seen this coming. You know this is happening.
Right.
And we're stuck on the hot seat, so.
Well, like I said, the problem is half of the demand is from here. So basically, the elasticity is, if we get a 10% drop in the airport, it's going to probably be 20% drop in fuel through the port. Pretty simple elasticity.
So what's the number, I guess? Sensitivity, I guess, wise. That's what we need to know.
Right, and I'd like to see, just even using that, a model of that, just so that at least for me, I can make a bit more of an informed decision on that. So.
Yeah, but we have a little bit of time.
Right, no, and that's it. I mean, if we were having this conversation on the 13th of November, I would be saying something different, but I would want to know, can we get the elasticity? Can we actually get a model showing the elasticity between now and the 13th? What I'm trying to ask, is there value in waiting until the 13th, or are we just treading water because, you know, and we're still going to have, you know, the 13th rolls around, we still have the same amount of information, and we still need to make a decision.
Yeah. You know, I agree on that, that we should look at that and use that time to make a decision I think ADEC needs to be a contingent part of it. If we're going to say this is the plan we're going to take, then it has to be contingent on ADEC or a better rate from the feds coming to the table and ensuring that those numbers can be achieved. So ADEC being contingent, a look at a flexibility, a sensitivity, elasticity model there, and it gives the stakeholders time to go back and look at those different pieces and address them before a final decision.
Ron?
So I hear what you're saying, and I appreciate that, because ADA is an integral component of this, and also grants are a component, and we have no information on whether or not we're going to get them. However, if we pass this today, and we do get them, but if we don't get them, we can still relook at the tariff, can we not, at any time?
You can relook at the tariff any time you want.
Exactly. So we're not really shooting ourselves in the foot here at all. We're keeping things moving, which has been not the norm around here for the last 6 months.
Oh, agreed.
I won't be here in November. I can't even call in from where I'll be. So, and it isn't just about me, obviously, but I'm just looking at, let's
move this forward. Week of December?
Yeah.
Well, I have to do it by the 20th.
We have to do it by the 20th of November.
Yeah. May I respond?
Yes, go ahead.
So, I, of course, feel the pain of you know, having lived this the last 6 months. If we have the sensitivity analysis, this is why I'm asking if we're going to get valuable information between now and the 13th. I think it's very prudent to wait until we get that. And how many days is that? It's like 20 days. I mean, it's not, you know, we will make that decision on the 13th. So, you know, I know what I'll vote today, but you know, whether that makes a difference or not, I don't know. But I just feel that I have a responsibility, an encompassing responsibility, and I want to look, and I want to hear more from the stakeholders than the letter. I mean, I know what you guys have, you know, submitted, and I'd like to see the sensitivity analysis. And you can hear the tenor of the board now, of the commission now, I'd be very interested to hear, you know, what your arguments are, you know, saying, okay, wait, we know you can come back, blah, blah, blah. So, and I think another question I would ask is, one more question I would ask is, how much of a difference does it make if, when we're having these discussions with Ada, when you can go in and say, hell yeah, the Port Commission voted and we're behind it, we need that money. Right, versus, well, they're still deciding. I mean, I that's another decision point.
Chicken and the egg.
Yeah, it is the chicken and the egg, but, you know, I know how I feel about this, but, you know, they're going to say, put your money where your mouth is. But, again, is I still think there's a couple of pieces of valuable information that would be worthwhile between now and the 13th.
Yeah.
So is it your...
Go ahead, Alex.
Are we entertaining public comments still?
Well, no, I think Stephanie
answering your question. All right, I misunderstood. All right.
Did you have a comment or a question? Ron?
Lost my train of thought. Go ahead.
You know, we passed a resolution not long ago that said that we weren't going to cause any undue harm or damage to our basically our customers. Does this proposal meet the tenor of that resolution?
Well, we don't know. That's why we were asking for the sensitivity.
I would like to know, and I think the elasticity, the sensitivity study, or something like that could help us understand. I too want the docks to be fixed because it's an integral part of our infrastructure. Without it, trucks would have nothing to carry.
There you go. Well,
it's important to me that this get done, but I want to do it in such a way as not to be as heavy-handed as other issues have been dealt with in recent years. So, I would support seeing if we can gather more information between now and the 13th of November.
Thank you. Now I remembered what I was going to say.
Sensitivity,
elasticity, sensitivity study. If you guys can come up with that and get it to us in a reasonable amount of time, I'll be surprised. Let me just say that. But if we have that, I also would like to see from the port, you and I discussed this, some sort of comparison, and you maybe make it a ratio, but a comparison of what it costs to move things across your dock as opposed to what it costs in Tacoma. How much more does it cost in Tacoma to get cement across the dock? How much more is it per barrel in Tacoma or in other ports in the West Coast? Because if we could say, look, you know, aside from the fact that we're at the end of the road here, end of the world, there's costs associated with that, and we only move X amount of cargo as compared to X cubed in Tacoma, just get a ratio so that you can represent that these numbers are not an undue hardship on the users. So that when they came in with the elasticity study and everything else, sure, you have your numbers.
Well, I think Hawaii or Puerto Rico would be
there. Yeah, we'll do the best we can. Rob, we will do the best we can to run those traps. Cement's an interesting commodity to talk about, though, because a lot of the docks are owned by the companies
and they
that are managing the cement,
right,
and
you
they're
go.
Never going to tell us
no one tell you, sure,
what those costs are.
Okay.
But if we can find, I mean, I know, I don't have it in front of me, but I know I did this drill with respect to all the ports in Alaska that handle cement.
Mm-hmm.
I know, found out what the railroad charges for moving cement. That doesn't answer your question.
No, but the ABI people, maybe some of the users, maybe they bring that in their information as well. Maybe it proves their point. I don't know.
We'll do the best we can for that and for petroleum for that matter.
Okay.
But you know, just know that when you hit that point where the dock is owned and operated by the company, then you're not going to get that information because it's not going to be published anywhere.
So then the last thing would be just to the rest of the commission. If you haven't been down on the dock, I'd invite you to take a walk with me, you know. And it's not as interesting from the dock itself as it is from the ship, looking at what's left of the dock down there. You know, this is a real situation, and that's why I call it both.
Mr. Chair.
Well, no. Mr. Chair, is Garrett Wong, whenever you could recognize.
Recognize
another comment.
Okay, go ahead, Garrett.
Well, in support of a sensitivity study or elasticity study, the question that we're all going to be facing when that is done, if assuming it's done in time, is, so if it's dropped, if the elasticity says that business may drop by 3%, by 5%, by 12%, what are we going to do? How is that going to take away the burden of how you're going to pay for it? And yes, it's going to increase the expense, but the reality is, if nobody's going to hand out money, because we don't know that anybody hasn't so far, if we have to rely on our own arithmetic to make this thing pay for itself, there aren't a whole lot of options other than letting the whole thing go into the drink. So my thought is, I think an elasticity study might help, but it's not going to solve the problem because you don't know all the other variables that are going to kick in or not kick in. ADA being one, grants being another, and it just goes on and on and on. And we can be talking about this for another two decades, but we won't have that option because it will fall into the drain. So my thought is, if we give some finality to our effort and say, what's going to cost X based on these assumptions, at least we know what the assumptions are and what our costs are going to be so that the end users have a sense of where this thing is going to go. And the public policy is really going to be dictated by the mayor and the assembly. I mean, we can only do so much. We cannot predict the future. We cannot anticipate and solve all the variables because we just don't control those. So my concern is, again, how far do we keep this can down the road before it falls into the drink? I'm done.
Okay, Bob?
Yeah, and when I came in, I had no interest in anything but moving the baseline forward. However, as I think about the value of an elasticity, all it's going to do is show that with X amount of increase, the rates will go down, and with X amount of decrease, the rates will go up. This is a good level model that says, to our knowledge, this is what we have, and this is what it's going to take to do it. To move any other direction and to delay this is just going to say, let's stop and look and see how bad these rates can get to or how good these rates can get to based on whether it's increased volume, based on whether it's grants, based on whatever the scenarios that we do not have fundamental control of. I think if we could get this moved forward and allow the users to work with the assembly and work with the mayor's office, I think it's beyond our thing. Right now we have a model that we can hang our hat on, and I'm surprisingly in favor of just getting it done.
Well, there are some assumptions, and there is a little bit of time.
Right.
Well said, Bob. I mean, we're just making a recommendation. The assembly has to approve it, right?
Yeah, so I'll chime in again. So I'm not proposing we kick it down the can, you know, kick the can down the road for months. I'd say 20 days. And I think you get the additional information. And granted, I also agree with, yeah, you're still going to make your decision one way or the other. But I just think it's important to have that. Whether I lose the vote or not, that's, you know, it is what it is. But I just, to me, there's no difference between now and November 13th, other than we might get some additional information that we can make a more informed decision. So.
I would agree with that.
Mr. Chairman, I think there was a sermon.
Well, we have a resolution here.
We need a motion.
Motion. We have a motion.
We have a motion.
And a second. And discussion has ensued.
I think we can
just call it.
Call it and vote.
Yep.
Call the vote.
Call the vote. Okay.
And this will be a roll call vote.
Yeah, it should be a roll call vote.
Roll call.
Question? Point. Are you voting on the motion, or are you voting to table the motion until November 13th?
No, we're voting
on the motion. On the motion.
Just want to be clear.
And the motion is to accept the petroleum is in that terminal, 81 million smooths.
Yeah.
With eight.
And that would be to recommend to the assembly.
That's right. They to the assembly.
Right.
As presented.
Well, vote, Chairman.
I think, yeah.
Diane.
Roll call.
No.
Say no because I'd like the additional time.
Commissioner Pulaski?
Yes.
Commissioner Thomas?
Thompson.
I'm sorry. No. I did that every time.
Thomas voted yes. Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. Thompson voted yes. Thomas voted
yes. Commissioner Lischewski?
Yes.
Commissioner Ward?
Yes.
Oh, Commissioner Tuttle?
No.
On the phone.
Commissioner Wong?
Yes.
Commissioner Duncan.
Is Mari Estanol?
Yes, I'm still here. I vote yes.
Wow.
5-4. Is that correct?
I'd say it's 5-4.
That is the most split vote we've ever had.
We had a pretty split vote last time, whether or not we're going to pass the resolution to say that we're given more time to give us more information, which we never got. I will congratulate the port staff, if I may, on getting us this information ahead of the meeting so I could let my eyes cross and try to figure out
what Mr. Falsey insisted that we meet that timeline. It's it's the right thing to do because people need time to digest. It's a lot of numbers.
Mr. Chair, I also want to compliment the staff and Bill and the group for turning around and putting the figures in that allowed us to see what did we get for $40 million, what did we get for $61 million, and what did we get for 60.5, what did we get for 81, and also clarifying the burden upon each of the industries to make it operational. So that changed my perspective throughout.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I could go back a little bit as in the discussion. Now, based on this $81 million Ada Smooth, did I hear that the project will be complete in 2021?
It could be.
Complete and serviceable to all customers?
Mm-hmm. That was based on Ada Smooth and based on grants and the fact that we don't get them, just to reiterate, we can look at this again anytime. Mm-hmm. You know, if those don't come through, we have the option of looking at this again.
We have the construction. What's the construction deadline for the bids and all that?
Right now we're planning on putting out a invitation for bid package on roughly March 1st. If bids due late June.
Assuming it gets through the assembly.
Yes. I hesitated. The question was, does $81 million get us the full functional facility, 2021? My hesitation for a second was, there are some assumptions with ADA and other stuff that we have to prove out. But with the financing there, yes, it's a one season, 2021 to complete and commission the facility.
Okay. Moving on, commissioners around the horn. Anybody on the phone? Any comments for around the horn?
No more comments.
Moira?
This is Moira. No comments. Thank you.
Steph?
Yeah, so even though I'm on the losing side of the vote, I thought the discussion was really an excellent discussion and well thought out, and I thought the presentations were great, and I thought that everyone has the best interest of the port and the stakeholders at heart. So it's just a tough to divide the baby on this one, to use a gross term, raise.
Bob?
Well, on one side it's tough to divide the baby, but if it can be born and operational in 2022.
You're all for it.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
We've accomplished the fact that we have made a decision. We've set some targets. Now we hope that these things come to pass. I hope that we can continue to work with our partners, with our our stakeholders and port users to continue the trust that we enjoyed all these years, and let's work together and make this project work well.
I just want to say thank you for the information so that we could make an informed decision today, and I'm happy to have it finished and dusted from our perspective.
Ron?
I agree, and again, thank you, Steve, and port staff for getting us the information. And thank you, users and audience, for showing up and participating and giving us information that we can use to make a decision. And I would encourage the users group to still do an elasticity study and provide us with that information. I'd still like to see what it's going to, how it compares to move cargo here as opposed to other places. Because, as I said, I mean, I wanted to make a decision. I wanted the Muni to know that we were here to give them informed recommendations. But I'm also interested in you know, revisiting this if you present viable data that shows we should reconsider. Over.
Andy?
Well, I too think it was, I too was with Steph on the losing end of the vote, but I thought it was a great discussion. I thought the port staff did a great job. Bill did a great job in getting us the outline of the options and what they meant and what we mean. And I think that, as Ron pointed out, should we not get ADA or should something, we can revisit this. But it is good to be moving forward with a really public infrastructure that needs to move forward because everybody has a plan B. And while we worry about the airport maybe getting less on the flexibility end of things, if the cost is too high for it, they're looking at plan B too. If you don't have a dock and 50% of your fuel and you're relying on an 80-year-old pipeline, so those those carriers are looking at that too. I think this can be a real positive step for the port and the modernization overall. So, good job by all of you.
Well, yeah. Comments, Steve?
Yeah, couple of things. First, so you've left us with a homework assignment. I'm impressed you moved so quick. So we did not prepare a resolution ahead of time so that we could push it under your nose to sign. So we have a little bit of homework we have to do with respect to all the documents that have to go in the case. So bear with us as we craft those and put them together and run them past you.
Don't bore
particularly
us.
The resolution.
I'm sorry, what? Don't bore us with the details.
Just shut up and get it done.
Got it.
All right, enough said. But the other thing I also wanted to do is so there we were reading our anchor chamber members' news and events and spotted this picture of Commissioner Andy McLeod, you know, getting the Gold Pan Award, the Gold Pan Chairman's Award from the Anchor Chamber, and we didn't want to let that go without being acknowledged here in front of the group.
Was that the picture of the bomb?
I don't want to see that.
Whatever that is.
That's the picture. That would be below the table.
Oh, okay.
So,
I thought it was a pen. That's like a gold pan.
No, I said gold pan.
No gold in it.
Not gold pen, gold pan.
It's not even gold plated?
All right. Congratulations.
Yeah, good job, man.
Meeting schedule.
November
13th. We still plan on meeting?
Can't be here.
If you leave that on the calendar and it can be had, then we'll set that as our deadline for having all the paperwork prepared. So do you have one more alibi?
Well, okay. Do you need to sign anything? Or?
The chairman does. Has to sign the resolution.
Are you going to be here? Or are you going to be
in Maui? I'll be here.
Yeah,
the following week I'll be in Costa Rica.
The week before.
So we'll get a draft of the resolution out to you all to review.
All right, I'd like to see it at least, sir.
Okay, so November 13th,
noon, same time.
Yep, same time, same place.
I don't have it.
wondering if...
Well, you better make sure it's on the website correctly.
It's already...
Well, apparently it already is.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Meeting adjourned.